Well, blessings to all of you. I see some guests here today. So we say the Lord bless you and keep you. Glad you're here with us. Amen. Well, I'm going to give you, I don't know if the girls gave us a time to be over there, but we're going to finish what we started here this morning. Amen. So I want you to turn your Bibles with me. I won't go here for a couple of minutes, but you go on over to Philippians, toward the back of the New Testament, after Corinthians, after Ephesians, and before Colossians. Okay. Just go over there and wait for me, and I'll be there in just a few minutes. Amen. You know, I noticed that Isaiah is sounding more like Lindell on that piano every time I hear him. Isn't it amazing? Lindell mentored him, and I'll be forever grateful for that. Well, you know, every anniversary, whether it's your wedding anniversary or the day you were born, you always look back to that first, the first time that caused that anniversary. My precious mother would always tell us on our birthday, I heard it, well, a few times. She'd always tell us what it was like when we were born and how we looked and what happened, and as though we never heard it. Now, my brother just turned 80, and she still told him, I don't know how old he was when she was here, but she still told him how he looked and what it was all about. Now, he had heard this all these years. And I said, well, you guys, that's special to her. Well, you know what? It was Ainsley's birthday Friday, and you know what I did? Okay, we won't go into it, but you know what I did because that's what you do. And then you remember and reminisce about your wedding. Honey, do you remember? And he's like, yes, I do, honey. Yes, I do. And you know, you go into all the memories. And so every year we look back, it's been 28 years, and I thought, well, what would I do? Show him some more pictures. And I thought, my Lord, after 28 years, you've seen every picture I got. You know, you saw the dirt, you saw the yellow and the blue sign that said coming soon. And you saw, some of you did, some of you didn't. But I just thought I'd go another direction about it today. And testimonies, we've had the charter member testimonies, and I'm grateful for a few of you, not many left, that were here in the very beginning when we started from the first day. And I honor you today and thank you for that. So, you know what? Looking back, it's all just a part of our history. It doesn't matter what you look back to. I mean, even starting the church, that was a part of our history. I will never forget that. I could tell you again how that went, but I'd sound like my mother. So I'm just not going to do that to you again today. But on our milestone, I'll hit you real big on that one, all right? If I'm still around and it's 30 years old, then we'll see all the pictures again and do all the stuff. So I'm just warning you. So over those years, we've had a lot of things. Some things I'm happy to mention. Some things we all went through together and other things you'll never know about. But we had some great victories over these 28 years. Oh, my goodness, the old building down at the Veterans Memorial Building. We had great memories there. Lest I get started, I'll tell you how we had to tear up and sit down, and the guys put all the seats and the altars and sound system and everything into this little closet that was about a 4x4. Maybe I'm stretching it a little bit. Maybe 4x6. I don't know. But we did that for 3 years, or they did it for 3 years. But we had great victories over there. And then we moved here. We've had great victories here. And we've seen mighty moves of God. And that's why some of you are not yet satisfied right now. Because let me tell you guys something. Once you have tasted the glory of God, and he has touched you, and you got under that spout where the glory comes out, as my old pastor used to say, but the glory is a whole another subject, a whole other subject. And so, oh, I remember the few times that his glory came in when we were on the road to different churches. I was just reminiscing this morning about when we were in Bakersfield and in Fresno and in Kansas and some of these places where the glory would come in. And when we went to the great revivals of Pensacola and we went to Kansas, I'll tell you, when you've been touched by that, you are never happy until that touches you again or until you touch it. And you don't have a clue. If you haven't experienced that, I'm just telling you, it's something that you were never satisfied until that happens again. And that's why I always talk about it. You say, where is it? It isn't mine to give us. I can't. It doesn't matter what I do. I could try so hard. You could try hard. We can sing the song 20 more times. We can come up here and lay down on the floor and cry out to God and scream and cry and snot. And he's like, that ain't enough, baby. I don't know what it is. It's just his. And I don't know why he sent it those times. And I don't know why he doesn't send it more. I just can't tell you how that works. I guess just to say he's sovereign. But boy, did we have some mighty moves. And we have brought in probably, we've brought in some of the greatest American evangelists in America, including the fathers of revival. We had them all here. At one night, we had Steve Hill, who was the vehicle that carried the revival. For some reason, God touched him in Pensacola. Pastor Kilpatrick is the father of revival. He's hosted two. And why it left after 7 years, who knows? But he hosted another one for 2 years. Argentina went on for 15 years. But it came in and we went there and it just wrecks you. It just wrecks you. You are not the same anymore. And then you get this holy dissatisfaction in you. It doesn't mean that you're not contented and you're not happy. It just says, I know there's more. I know there's more. And so we hosted some of the greatest evangelists, the greatest singers. I mean, you see them on TV all the time. That's not the reason I brought them. I brought them because I knew they carried something. And so they came and we had mighty moves. We had a 6-month revival one time with a pastor, Wayne Neal, who wasn't pastoring then. He was an evangelist. So yeah. We've come a long ways and we've overcome a lot of trials. And don't think for 1 minute, church, that God is not through with this. Don't think for 1 minute that now we're too old. You know, when a church is young, it's like a little puppy dog. You know, if you go to the pet shop and you see this little puppy there licking the window, what's everybody do? They all gather to look at the puppy. Oh, Gucci, Gucci, all to the puppy. But they see an old hound dog laying there. You know, a little cocker spaniel that's grown up, or unless it's a yellow lab, or, you know, a chocolate poodle or something. But they ain't going to give 2 cents. Somebody's telling me the other day they founded a new church in Visalia, and oh, I'm telling you, they were over the top. And I'm thinking, oh, I remember that. That was so good. That was so sweet. But I didn't warn him. I just said, enjoy that ride, brother. Not saying that it doesn't rise up. Oh, yes. Okay, I'm just saying we've come a long ways, but it's not over. And we've experienced, man, I'm telling you, this church, like all churches, has experienced troubling times. But when they're your troubling times, you don't care what New Life Center doing or believers or Nazarene. They can go through their own stuff. But for right now, we got stuff going on. You know, over and over. And you get through that one, everything calms out, another honeymoon, just like a marriage. And then oh, you're at it again. Somebody's all messed up. Somebody's leaving. Somebody's going to go. Somebody's tired of you. Somebody's tired of the music. It wears you out. I'm telling you. No wonder pastors are resigning all over the world. But I'm not. Because God has sent me here. And I'll only stay until he says stop. And when he does, listen, I hear his voice and I'll be done. And then we can move on, and I pray we'll get a little puppy dog in here with a lot of energy and just carry this thing. But God will appoint the one who will succeed me. You don't have to worry about that. Say, will it be Dave and Sarah? I don't know. Well, God will have to do some work on them. But, you know, God knows how to do that. So I don't worry about nothing. And if they rebel, rebellion's as bad as witchcraft. If they should rebel, then God says, I'll send someone in from Alaska. Don't worry about them. I've got kids. See, God knows everyone all over the world. He knows how to fix it for you. And he knows how to fix it for us. And I'm thankful. But we've lost a lot of people for various reasons. Some reasons I know, some reasons I don't. It's just like some of you girls and your beautician. You just walk out and you never tell her you're leaving. You see her downtown and she's like, well, I noticed you got your hair cut. Where you been? So, you know, they just walk out and don't even say goodbye. You've been there with them at the hospital. You stayed there with mom and daddy and gave money and did all kinds of things. But that's all right. You know, people leave for other reasons. Some people, they'll come in, look at you right in the face. I remember one lady, she came in. They had been with us. Oh, this sermon's getting dry. I thank you, guys. Probably starting to meddle here. So, we used to have a, oh, hi, Robert. Sitting right up front. I don't get to see you often. So we were having our annual yard sale. You know, all churches have annual yard sales, so I just figured that's what we needed to do. So every year we had an annual yard sale, and this lady would head it up, and oh, the women were just so precious to help her. We probably had 350, 400 at that time, and boy, everyone would jump in and help her. All of a sudden, she went about, I don't know, 5 or 6 seasons of that. I don't know what happened out there, but someone made her mad. And she came in, her and her husband, and I could tell by the look she had on her face. She goes, well, Pastor, we have something to tell you. And I thought, we'll get it over with. I know where you're going. I just started to go over and get my anointing oil, because that's what I do. If they come and tell me, then I bless them and send them. I'm not going to be mad. I'm not mad at anyone that leaves. They got a reason for leaving, even if whether they told me or not. Don't matter. Not my business. So she said, well, I came to tell you we're leaving. And she said, oh, I've cried about it, and I cried, and I cried. I don't want to leave. I don't want to leave, but God told me I got to go. He said, we've got to leave here. And I said, well, that's all right, as long as you've got some place to go. You going somewhere else? Well, I don't know yet. Right there, her table turned. Attitude. I said, so God told you to leave. Well, how about last week? You seem real happy. Well, I don't know. He just told me Saturday. I said, at the yard sale? She said, yeah. I said, yeah, I heard about Susie Q and you out there. Yeah, she doesn't do anything. And I said, all right, honey, all right. I got you. And I anointed her with oil. Now I wish I'd have given her a Starbucks card. Thank you. But anyway. It doesn't matter. You know, I know people are going to go and come, and there's reasons, and maybe God did tell her, but I don't think he did. I think she just got mad. So, you know, don't blame it on him if it's not his fault. And don't blame it on the devil if it's not his fault. Now, I don't like the devil, but don't do that. So, yep, we've experienced all those times, and then we experienced death. You know, we lost those 10 people from COVID. That was one of the hardest things, you guys. I mean, that was just a hard thing. I know you had your friends, and maybe you didn't know this one very well. You didn't know that one very well, but I knew them. I knew them. I knew Sister Helen, that sweetheart. I knew Brother Randy. I knew Sister Dee. Some of you were in the hospital. We couldn't even go. Brother Mike and Juanita. Juanita was like this close to eternity. And Mike, you weren't too far away, but I think she was a little closer than you were. Dee was even in there. But over two periods of time, and Miss Maureen, our head intercessor. So, you know, we had deaths through COVID, and then we went through that time where we all had to stay home, wear masks, so we rode through that thing, and I had to do this at home all by myself on Wednesday nights. Finally, they said, and on Sundays, finally, they said, well, you can have 10 people. Well, when we got out here with the band and an usher to look out for us, there was 10 people right there, so we didn't have room for anyone else. Finally, they took it up to 25. Anyway, it was just crazy, and all those things are very, very hurtful. And you can't explain that being in my place or other pastors. We talked about it because we know everyone, and you have relationships. But that, yes, that was tough. And this I think is the worst thing. And you'll know what I'm saying. We experienced dry spells in churches. Do you all know that? Oh, my goodness. We've experienced those dry spells to where nothing seemed right. The worship wasn't there. The people weren't praising him. They were looking down the, you know, like a little kid. I took my little Jamie to church one day. She got some new little red underwear with little ruffles. And so I stand her up on the seat here by me, and she pulled that dress up, turned around so everyone could see her ruffles. I went, you're standing up here. Brother Lindell, he'd just get upset. Pastor, he goes, they remind me of that little story you told about Jamie. They're just looking at their clothes. They're looking at her clothes. They're looking over. They're not even paying attention. They're just singing like little kids. I said, not everybody, Lindell. And if you zone in on somebody that's like that, don't look. Just stop looking. You can't look. So I know you guys, I've been through dry spells. You go through dry spells. And when the church gets to that place, I mean, you got to fight hard. And I believe we all fight hard to get the Holy Spirit back up in here. Holy Spirit, we need you. Come in here with us. We are lonely in here, and I'm telling you right now, we are not going to have church without you. We're just not going to do it. And I knew it was dry, but I wasn't going to tell you. How dumb would that be? And you know what? You were sweet enough not to tell me, and I sure appreciate it. Oh, every now and then somebody would say something. I'd go home, cry about it, and then I'd think, ah, it don't matter. We'll make it. We'll get through it. And every time we had a dry spell and we'd fight to get back close to the Holy Spirit, you know what he did? He always came through and empowered us. He always empowered us. And I'd run on to you in the week and, Pastor, you know what the Lord did for me? And you'd be all jazzed and all charged up again. And then we'd come into church and the worship would be off the charts. And then we'd get in this season again where everything we did was just heavenly and beautiful because of his presence. I don't know if other churches were there, but we've experienced all that. And then there's times where, with all the victories and all the good things, times where we got tired and disappointed. And I could tell when you were disappointed. And you could probably tell when I got disappointed. And we would just be wondering, like, what happened? Lord, how could my child do that? How could my husband or my wife? And you get disappointed. Well, where's my finances? What's happening to the church finances? And then all of a sudden, it won't be long. You move into another season. And then you get the blessing in abundance. And we've experienced, yes, the disappointment, but we've experienced the blessings and the abundance. Hallelujah. You know what I found out about you? And this is why I love Landmark. I love you. And you know what? When I talk to you, you know what I hear you saying? You'll say, Pastor, I just love our people. And you know what I say? Even my sister-in-law says that to me. I'll say, the reason you love them, you know why? It's because they love you. They love you and they respect you. We respect each other. And so that's why we keep coming back. And I've watched you when you went through, like Cindy. Cindy went through she's a widow, broke her leg in all these places, in a tight spot, living with her son and daughter-in-law-to-be, and hasn't been easy for her, but I watched her lay there in that bed, full of strength and full of the Holy Ghost. I watched that strength rise up in her. My goodness. I watched her get close to his side, just get close to him. And you know what? When we go close to him, what does he do? He comes close to us. He said, I'll stick closer to you than a brother. Some of you have brothers in this house. You don't even speak to them. Well, don't worry about them, because you got this brother that says, I'll stick closer to you than him. That's what I'll do. It's what Jesus does. Last Wednesday night, Miss Marcia Burton was here, Chris's mother. She stood right about here, and she's just so sweet, you know, and she's not a bold lady. And this is only about the third time she walked up here and said something to us. Sometimes if I ask for somebody to pray, she'll pray. Oh, she's just been so close to the Lord. And she goes home and has horrible stomach pain that night, was taken by ambulance to the hospital. They're probably doing surgery on her this morning or tomorrow. But you know what? I went to see her yesterday, and she was like, Pastor, I have total peace. Can you imagine your mother saying that last year, Chris? Not last year or the year before. But now, what happened? She moved over close to Jesus. Jesus, who's closer to her. Her husband passed during COVID, and yet she pulled closer to Jesus when she lost him. And just to see the sweet strength and how he strengthens us when we get close to him. So I want to tell you today, it's a brand new year for us, a brand new day. And I pray you'll hear what I'm about to give you here. I looked up the word, of course I would, 28. The number 28. One theologian says the number 28 is very significant in the Bible. You'll see 28 popping up all over as you read your Bible through. And Matthew Henry said, it is associated with new beginnings, fresh starts, completion. We've completed 27 years. And a divine order is being set. Balance and strength is significant of number 28. Balance and strength, renewal and rebirth. I don't know about you, but I'm glad I'm in a number 28 church. That's what it said. A new beginnings and fresh starts. Completion, divine order, balance and strength, renewal and rebirth. So, let me take you to Philippians chapter 3. Let's go to Philippians chapter 3. Let me show you verse 1. Now, Paul is writing this, and you know what kind of man Paul was. His name was Saul. God had to change his name just to erase his past. It was so bad. But Paul is writing this from a prison cell, Philippians chapter 3, verse 1. He says this, Finally, brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you, it's not tedious. But for you, it is safe. In other words, this is a safeguard for you. That's why I'm giving you this. It's a safeguard to keep you. Now, look what he calls these people. And he gives them a warning. You beware of the dogs. Now, he's not talking about a four-legged creature. You beware of the dogs. Beware of evil workers. And beware of mutilation. What is the word we keep hearing today? People are, I hate to even use the word, wanting to mutilate little children, give them sex changes before they really know what's going on, and not even let the parents know. So Paul says, now beware, and one translation could be King James, beware of the dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the mutilation. For we are the circumcision who worship God. We worship him in spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus. And we have no confidence in the flesh. The reason he called them mutilators is because they were coming to circumcise the adult men or anyone that came under grace. So let me tell you who Paul says I am. Now, Paul starts to boast here a little bit, but he had a right to do it. He said, now, we are people, you know, there's some that have been circumcised as a Jew, but when they're Gentiles, weren't, and they don't have to be because that was under the law. That's a part of the law. They don't have to do that now under grace. Verse 4, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he has confidence in the flesh, I more so. I'm circumcised. Look, I was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. I am a Hebrew of the Hebrews. Concerning the law, I am, look at this, I am a Pharisee. I mean, this guy knew the law of Moses frontwards and backwards and all through, up and down. Concerning the law, I'll just tell you right now, I'm a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, oh, I've got zeal. I persecuted the church. He killed anyone that called themselves a Christian, or in that day they said, you're in the way. Concerning the righteousness, which is of the law, I was blameless. He said, I could live that law to every jot and tittle. If you want to brag, he said, I can boast right along with you. Here is my degree. But what things, look at this, verse 7, but what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Oh, I'll tell you, you should see some of the rabbis in Israel with their little curlicues down here, walking along, reading the Torah, first five books of the Bible, day after day, hours, and searching the scriptures, only those five books. Paul said, I could stay up with the best of you guys. I'm a Pharisee myself. But what things were gained to me, these things I have counted loss for who? For Christ. He said, all I know, I'm just going to leave that alone. Oh, he made it clear about this. He said, all that is rubbish. That doesn't mean a thing to me. I count it all lost. Verse 8. Yet indeed, I also count all things lost. There it is. I count all things lost. Look at this. For the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and I count them as rubbish, that I might gain Christ. And you know, you guys, as I looked at that today, thinking about our 28th anniversary, I'm thinking of all the good things. I'm thinking of all the hard things and the difficult trials and the fires and the deaths. Thinking of the great evangelists that came through. Thinking of the great glorious meetings. When I think of that, I heard the Lord saying to tell you and remind myself to count all that loss. Count it all loss, that we might have the knowledge of the excellency of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we have that, we have everything. You think, well, I need a counselor. Well, what you really need is Jesus. Relationship. I need more money. Well, get Jesus. I need this. I need that. We need Jesus. He's the one. Paul said, all that stuff is a loss for me. So we don't need to go back to Pensacola. We don't have to go to Kansas. We don't have to do anything. And I'm going to tell you right now, all those wonderful services we had on the road and here at the old building, those are a loss. They're a loss to me that we might have Jesus Christ himself in this building with us. When he walks in the house, everything changes. Amen? Everything. Paul said, I trade all of my prestige and all of the popularity I had for this one thing, for Christ, and to know him like that. And he knew that in order to know him like that, he was going to have to let it all go. look at verse 9, and be found in not having my own righteousness. He said, I don't have any. And he had just said, no one I've ever heard of could keep the law like Paul did. He said, I kept it in every facet. I know Jesus did. Verse 9, and be found in him. I want to be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I might know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, by any means I may attain to the resurrection of the dead. Pastor Kilpatrick told me that, he said, when we had those 7 years of revival, Steve Hill would give the same invitation every night. Had this young lady named Charity, I think, Charity, and she would sing Mercy Seat every single night for 7 years. And he said, you have no idea how many people I had to fight. Not a literal fight, but they'd come up and say, Pastor, you need to change that song. She'd been singing that for 3 years. And he says, until God tells me to move that song, I'm not moving it, and you're not God, so you just go sit down. Well, you need to tell Steve, every time he gives an altar call, he says, hurry, hurry, hurry. They never even saw that look of fire in Steve Hill's eyes. We saw it when he was here. I saw it when I was there. He had such an anointing on him. And for somebody to say, he gives the same altar call, they didn't even know God. So you got to really, really be careful when you try to move into a service out of time. So he said, that's what I had to fight. Paul says, no, I don't care about my own righteousness. It's not about me. It's about knowing him. So verse 12, here's where I want to go. Now, and I say this, and I'm sure you say it too. Not that I've already attained. Paul said, I haven't already arrived. I don't know it all. I don't have it all. I'm not saying I've already arrived or attained or I'm ready or I'm already perfected. But he said, here's what I do press on. You guys, sometimes I have not a clue what to do, but I press on. I know how to pray, and I know how to press on. That I may lay hold. Listen. Here's what this whole deal is about for you and me and the body of Christ. That I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Now, if Jesus has called you to serve him, and he's called us to different ministries and walks of life, and our big responsibility is to be a mother and a father, and to take care of our families and be faithful to God. But whatever it is that he called you to, Paul says, I've taken hold of that for which he took hold of me. See, God took hold of you and anointed you with something. And so until you take a hold of that he has called you to, you'll never move out of that place and into another place that he's called you to. Let me read it again, and maybe you'll get that. Verse 12. Not that I've already attained or am ready perfect, but I press on and I lay hold of that which Christ laid hold of me. Brethren, he's addressing you and me now. 2,000 years later, brothers and sisters, I do not count myself to have apprehended or, again, to know it all. I don't count myself to have arrived, to be apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Paul says, I press. In other words, sometimes I have to strain. Man, listen, it's not easy sometimes. You have to strain to hold on to the Spirit of God sometimes. I mean, you just have to strain your muscles and work hard to grasp that word to pull you through your stuff. And Paul says, but I'll tell you one thing I do. I forget that. All of that stuff, all of it. See, and I have to do that myself. Because I will remember when the seats were full. And now there's too many empty seats. And we'll have a picture on the wall, and somebody will say, Pastor, why do we lose all those people? You know, you think of all those things. Oh, listen, I'm thankful for this message, man. I'm moving on. How many's going on with me? We're just going to press on and let it go. And on all the things in your life that's behind you, somebody may have did you dirty last week. I mean, you had a hurt. Somebody hurt your feelings. They walked all over you. Maybe they didn't even know it. Well, you knew it. Let it be lost. Just let her go. Just let it go. So that you can have the knowledge of Christ to help you get through what you got to go through. Because we all got to go through something down here. And until Jesus comes, there will be another and another and another thing to go through. My gosh, thank you, Jesus. He said, just forget and reach on. Verse 14, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. It's an upward call. It's upward. It's upward. It's never out there. It's never down here. It's an upward call. But look, in verse 15, therefore let us, as many as are what? Mature. Have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will not even reveal this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. In other words, he said, you guys got to forget too. It isn't just about me. There's things, some of you have been holding a grudge against somebody for so long. You know, when you hold a grudge, the only one it hurts is you. And it gives you a bitter heart and a hard heart. Just not worth it. It's just not worth it. So, Paul's saying, just take the focus off of the stuff. Off of your past. I'm going to leave. Those were all good services. But the best is yet to come. The best, God's got people out there that he's bringing in here. Those that left, I'm going to let them go. That CE director who was director over all the children, who took all the teachers. Well, she didn't take them. They just followed her. They all left to COVID. We didn't even have a Sunday school teacher in this house. They all left. Now, I just got to tell you, that just almost made me mad. But you know, my mad don't last long. I forget about it real quick. And some of them had come and went, but none of them came back. None of them came back. All the teachers. So that's over. That's over. That's done. New things ahead for you. How about your past? Look back. What do you have to let go? Focus on Jesus. And, you know, you'll reminisce with people sometime the way it used to be. My poor brother, he had a little ranch out in the country. And then he got to where he couldn't take care of it. He had to move to town. He had some cows that just killed him. I don't know, how many years is that? 15, 20 years ago? 24, he's still mad about that. He's still talking about, I should have never left that place. I should have never. But there's some of those things you just try to hold on to. Got to let it go. Well, the church was thriving in number. I know. We had lots of families. They had 66 ministries. Let it go. Oh, I let that go a long time ago. I'm just trying to give you some examples of things that I have to let go of too. Oh, the spirit was high. We were like little puppy dogs, a new church. But then you start looking at the bad. You start remembering the past troubles and the hurt feelings. Forget about the hurt feelings. Gabby learned this lesson through VBS. She said, Pastor, I said, were your feelings hurt? She said, no, I learned from you. If I get one feeling hurt, I got 1,000 others left. So you got a whole bunch of feelings. You don't have to worry about getting one of them hurt, or a few. So past troubles, hurt feelings, let them go. The past, your past, my past, it'll always rear up its ugly head. Always. You say, Paul said, forget that. Paul said, let it go. So we just let it go. Because if you remember your past, guess what you're going to be doing? You're either going to be boasting real proudly about it. Oh, you could just get so braggadocious about it and bragging about your accomplishments. And I did this and I did that. Here's what we have. You can boast all about that if you look back. Or you'll be murmuring. about the things you should have, could have, would have done, but you didn't. Murmuring that things aren't the way they used to be. Please don't come and talk to me about the way things used to be at church, because that's gone. A new day is right here. So we're going to forget the past as a church, and we're running a race. Paul says, press on. That's what we're going to do. So let me give you one more scripture out of Isaiah. We'll go eat. Isaiah 43:18. This is Old Testament. And God said this through the prophet Isaiah. Now, you need to forget the former things. Former things are those things that are behind. Forget the former things and don't dwell on the past. And then he says, see, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it, or do you not understand it? I'm going to make a way in the desert and rivers in the wilderness. Man, I'll just take care of you. I'll make it happen. So there it is again. Forget the former things of old. I will do a new thing. You say, Lord knows. How many need a new thing? You know what he wants for you? He wants fresh water. He wants a fresh start. He wants everything number 28 is for us. So he said, just go ahead. I'm doing a new thing. So it's time for us to move on. One more. Did I say that was the last scripture? One more scripture, Luke 9:62. Jesus was talking here, and he said, no one. He said, in other words, you have no excuse. No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back, you're not fit for the service of the kingdom of God. You're just not fit. So there's no way I'm going to plow and walk through this thing and hold this plow and be looking back all the time that who's not here and the empty seats. No, I just see them full. Somebody's going to be in it. You know, the mess you've got at home or wherever you've got it going on, don't look back. Focus on Jesus. He'll restore you. So like Paul, just forget the past and reach. You got to reach. Remember, it's a strain sometimes to reach, but you hold on. Now, Miss Rose Lee, I call her my Louisiana Rose, her wonderful pastor in Louisiana, his name was Paul Morton, and I love Bishop Paul Morton. And I should have geared up that song for you, Kathy. But I think it came along after you left the church. But he wrote a song, and the first time I heard it, you know, some songs have to grow on you, but the first time I heard it, I ordered that CD when you could get CDs. And here's what he said, Lord, whatever you're doing in this season, don't do it without me. Lord, whatever you're doing in this season, don't do it without me. I've cried that in my prayer so many times over these years. And then he says, Lord, if you're healing in this season, don't do that without me. And I'm sure Sister Marcia's down there at that hospital. If she knew this song, she'd be saying, Lord, if you're healing in this season, don't do it without me. Lord, if you're blessing in this season, don't bless without me. He loves us, church. Stand on your feet with me. Oh, how he loves you and me. Chris, I wonder if you could follow me on this. Give me a C, please. Oh, give me a little higher. Oh, how he loves you and me. D, maybe. Oh, how he loves you and me. G. Oh, how he loves you and me. He gave his life, sing, Lynn.
He gave.
What more could he give? Oh, how he loved. Come on, let's sing it one more time. Oh, how he loves you.
Oh, how he loves you and me. Oh, how he loves you and me.
He gave his life.
He gave his life. What more could he give? Oh, how he loves you.
God, Chris, you can kick back into that G chord. I don't know where you were going with that, but play that softly. Well, you guys, listen, I pray that you heard the word of the Lord today, and I believe you have. And so just keep that in your heart and in your mind. You know, it's one thing to have it in your heart, but you got to get it in your mind, because it's our mind that bothers us. It's our mind that gives us the struggle. So, you know, it's only about a foot from your mind to your heart. So surely we can get this up to our mind. But just let it go. Let it go. And take the new that God is giving. Would you do that? How many would commit, Lord, I'm going to let bygones be bygones. And I'll let God do a new thing. Come on, lift both hands and lift up a praise to him. Would you tell him you love him? Come on, give him a hallelujah. Tell him I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. You are welcome in this place. You wanted in this place. You worshiped in this place. Lord, we wait for you. Lord, we can just come in here and worship you. It's all right. We're just going to wait upon you. And Lord, your glory is in this house. But Lord, I know there's a manifested presence of your glory that is coming. Oh, yes, Lord. The manifested presence, Lord, will never be the same.
All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Tell him what more
I will sing.
I will sing
of the goodness of God.
Of God, hallelujah. Turn around to a couple of people around you and say, forget about it. Forget about it. Press on. Press on, Landmark. It's time we do a new thing. We get a new thing. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Well, let me give you a blessing and then we'll go to the physical table. We've already blessed the food, blessed the drink. So, here's your blessing. Oh, yes, may the Lord bless you and keep you and cause you to be able to lay the past behind you and pick up and go forward. Reach, reach, reach. May he be gracious to you as he turns his beautiful face to you. And may he shine his beautiful, glorious countenance upon you and your home and your life. In Jesus' name, may peace rule all over you and everything that pertains to you. In Jesus' name, amen.